The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. We thank you for tuning in as we do each and every morning. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your morning, whether in the heart of football season or in the middle of the summer.
That's right.
We love you for that.
Man, I love the NBA so much. I know everybody knows that, but as soon as that NBA Finals ends, it's like, whoo, boy.
Bro, June
20th. When does NFL start?
June 22nd is, yeah, it's time to wrap it up. We will talk NBA draft, though, here momentarily. Rafael Barlow, NBA draft analyst at the NBA Big Board. NBABigBoard.com will join us to talk NBA draft, which is 2 days away, Wednesday night, first round of the NBA draft.
And don't worry, Gil, they're televising the second round just for you as well on Thursday.
Oh, cannot wait for that. Oh, boy, I'll totally be into that. No. So we'll talk NBA draft. I have one bet. Kelly, you've made two, correct, so far?
I have two. Yeah. Yes, that's it.
So we'll get into that here momentarily. Wes Reynolds standing by. I just want to say this real quick, though. I do you remember your dreams?
Oh, not at all. I am that person that doesn't remember dreams at all.
So I went about 25 years, never remembered a dream. Lately, maybe because the sleep is a little more staccato.
This is interesting.
And it's not really a dream. It's like a 30-second vignette of a dream that I remember. The other night, not last night, but the night before, I dreamt that the Redskins-Cowboys game, and it was the game in Washington, because of, you know, outdoor field, there was a sinkhole that happened on the second drive of the game right at the line of scrimmage.
And then what did I do heroic to
you,
save
you
the
You were
day?
Not involved.
I wasn't in the dream? That's weird. Okay.
But how weird dreams are, right? So
did you recently watch Batman The Dark Knight?
No, was there a sinkhole in that?
Yeah,
oh,
in
no.
a football game.
No, I never thought about a sinkhole in my life.
I don't know if I'm getting the right Batman movie, but whatever.
Somehow a sinkhole crept into my dream, melded into a Skins-Cowboys game at FedEx Field, and a defensive lineman for Washington with the number 76, which is not a defensive lineman's number, and a name that, of course, I couldn't make out in the dream because he's not a real person. He fell to the field, and it has appeared right at the snap as if he had an injury. But instead, it was his legs going into the ground. And then, once you realize that, the split second, you can realize that five other players started to fall, and then it became this heroic thing. And in my dream vignette, you know what my next thought was? How are they going to reschedule this game? That was the whole dream. That's what I was worried about.
Like, literally just described a scene out of whatever Batman movie Bane's in.
Yeah. I never saw that movie.
You made the right choice, Batman. Bane.
Ladies and gentlemen, Wes Reynolds joins us in one of the more conflicted mornings, perhaps, of his entire adult sports fanhood in sports betting, in his sports betting career. He joins us now courtesy
Wes owned that golf tournament too.
Wes owned the golf tournament. He also happens to be a Pacers fan. Wes joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Wes Reynolds won. The number one is where you can follow him on Twitter. Wes, congratulations on golf. I'm so sorry about basketball.
Yeah, my dream was that the Pacers were going to win an NBA championship for the first time, and then that went away several minutes into the game, sadly last night with Tyrese Halliburton's injury. But just, you know, you knew that the Pacers were going to be up against it, being that they were facing a 68-win team that was like the number two all-time net rating behind the 95-96 Bulls. So it's like, you knew that they were up against it, but then all of a sudden you get some belief. It's like, okay, we're in game seven, man. Anything can happen. And even if you lose, there's always that, okay, we're close. So, you know, do we go above the tax to try to, you know, really run this back? And that's what the hard part of today is, Gil, because now the sobering reality is hitting. That's not that you just lost, that you got beat. You can live with that. It's that I can't come on here and say, well, wait till next year.
Yeah.
I now can't do that because of obviously what happened with Tyrese Halliburton, because this wasn't like the 2000 Indiana Pacers, where if you remember that 2000 NBA Finals where they faced Kobe and Shaq and the Lakers and lost in six games. That was going to be it for that Pacer team. That was an aging, veteran, older team that this was going to be their one shot and their one opportunity to win an NBA championship. This group, it's like you felt like, okay, if they lose this time, They've got the core there. They've got Halliburton. They've got Siakam. They've got a core team that is playing together that's going to just keep getting better. And now I can't say wait till next year here, because the Pacers probably, if you look at them today, as currently constructed with Tyrese Halliburton, certainly out till probably, I would say, next March, they're probably a 6 or 7 seed in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, that's the part, right? It's the fact that feeling that had to have sunk in, it sunk into everybody, but to a Pacers fan, of that double whammy, like, oh my God, now are we that much more unlikely to win this game, followed by that, right? That you're done for a year of basketball. You know, this is it's Tatum for the Celtics with the Achilles. It's obviously, you know, injuries abound in the Eastern Conference. So it knocks, I don't know if it knocks out the Celtics and Pacers, but obviously they're not going to be the favorites. The Cavaliers and the Knicks are. If you're the Bucks now, do you absolutely keep Giannis? I mean, it's anybody's conference at this point, right?
Yeah, certainly. And I think if you're the Pacers, one thing that they have to look at is that Miles Turner is now having an expiring contract, because they made a move last week where they traded a draft pick to try to clear up some extra room and clear up some cap space, presumably to re-sign Miles Turner, you know, and be able to kind of run this group back, whether they were going to win or lose in the NBA finals. But now you have to look at it as a, like, okay, we're without Halliburton till at least mid to late March. And we have a Miles Turner who did not have a very good NBA finals, to put it mildly. And do you now re-sign him to that big deal where it's like, well, you didn't really show up when we needed you the most, or do you do a sign and trade and now have to kind of, you know, pry apart the team a little bit? Because, you know, Herb Simon, who's the owner of the Pacers, who's now 90 years old, has indicated, and it was leaked through various NBA media last week, that he's willing to go over the luxury tax for the first time in probably about 15 to 20 years. And now it just changes the whole ball game. I'm sure the Celtics are kind of feeling this right now, where it's like, now we might be willing to trade some of the pieces, you know, on the team. We might be willing to trade Porzingis,
yeah,
or you might be willing to trade Derek White or Jaylen Brown. So the East is like totally wide open next year. And, you know, the Pacers, you just feel like they're kind of on the outside looking in of that.
Cavaliers to win the East next year, plus 265, Knicks plus 295, Celtics plus 550, Magic after the Desmond Bane kitchen sink trade, 6-1. They're in the fourth spot. Sixers 12-1, Pacers 12-1, Pistons 17-1, Bucks 18-1. So eight teams, this just in, eight make the playoffs after the play-in. Eight teams, 18-1 or shorter. If I force you to make a bet, Wes Reynolds and Kelly Bidlin, right now, you must make an Eastern Conference to win the Eastern Conference bet. Who do you make based on those numbers?
Wes, I'll let you go first.
The Detroit Pistons would be my sleeper here. I was really impressed with them. I actually thought they were the better team in that Knicks series, and yet they didn't win enough games to be the better team in that series. I just thought they had so many opportunities. They just couldn't hit shots late, but they've been putting together a good young core up there with Cade Cunningham and with Jalen Duren. So I really like the Pistons. I think next year is kind of when they take the step up into maybe like the top three of the East. So from a down the board, maybe if I see a little bit more value there, because this is such a wide open Eastern Conference, I'd say the Detroit Pistons.
All right. So my answer is going to be complicated because it's is Giannis back on the Bucks?
Yes.
Then Bucks at 18-1, except for the Bucks won't be 18-1 once they get announced. Right. That Giannis
You'd have to get ahead of that.
So yeah, I can't play that. I also, from a betting standpoint, like Wes just brought up with the Pistons, at this time of year, I would only consider a longer shot.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it would be the Cavs. The Cavs right now of who's the best in the East, it's the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Wes, you had Keegan Bradley, like Kelly did, like Dave Ross did. Congratulations to you. Tommy Fleetwood, we mentioned earlier, 42 American top 10 finishes. In other words, 42 top 10 finishes on the PGA Tour. Nary a win. Was yesterday his shot, and it will never happen again.
I don't know if I could say never happen again, but because I've been on Fleetwood where he's won, but that's been on the DP World Tour. Never here, of course. But, you know, golf's a funny thing when you're betting this, because there are events that you should win. Like, I felt I should have won the RBC Canadian Open with Sam Burns. He loses in the playoff. And then there's an event that I shouldn't have won, which I shouldn't have won yesterday, even though I had Keegan Bradley and Russell Henley, because Fleetwood, you felt like, had this well under control. And then, you know, how about Keegan Bradley drained a couple of putts, including a 64 footer, which really kind of kept him in the race here. And eventually wins the hometown event in the Northeast. And now if you're Keegan Bradley, I think you're going to select yourself for the Ryder Cup, and you damn well should, even though you're the captain. You got to be, I think, a playing captain at this point, because are there 12 better American golfers right now than Keegan Bradley?
No.
And I don't think that there are.
Yeah. And he was saying he just wanted to be the captain. Now he has to consider that for sure. What about this week? Rocket Classic. Keegan's playing, isn't he?
As of now, yeah.
He is.
Yeah, this is a kind of a downfield, because it's in between, obviously, the U.S. Open from a couple weeks ago, and then the Open Championship is in mid-July. So Colin Morikawa is your headliner. Patrick Cantlay also in this thing. Keegan Bradley, Ben Griffin, who's been as hot as anybody outside of Scottie Scheffler in golf. So those are the four top choices here at the Detroit Golf Club, which... this event here at the Rocket Mortgage Classic, this is a birdie fest. So a lot of guys in play. This is going to be 20-something under par wins this thing. A very easy course up there in Detroit.
One of those.
Yeah, Wes, I know we were laughing about it on Long Shots, but just looking down at this leaderboard, just a T12 for Patrick Cantlay once again at the Travelers. I don't think either one of us bet it, but just lock that in top 20 for every year going forward.
Well, we didn't even mention Rory.
That was one of my placement winners this past weekend.
Rory and Scotty, after all that, T6.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Wes on football next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget to check out the sharp plays of Match Transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, and alerts directly from the pros. We invite you to check them out, sharpplays.com. A couple random things here, Kelly. One, Christopher Felica has texted us. He goes, wait, the NBA draft is 2 rounds in 2 days?
Yeah, you can read that exact exchange if you'd like. I sent the schedule.
I can't remember if this started last year, if this is the first year, June 25th. So in other words, Wednesday night, first round's at 8 p.m. Eastern on ABC and ESPN. Thursday, the second round is at 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Kelly Bidlin has no desire to watch the second round of the NBA draft. I won't ever watch the back end of the first. And then
won't even watch the back end of the first.
Well, you are echoing what I said, which is there's no chance I'm watching that thing. The second round
of the draft.
And then Felica says it with expletives right after that. He goes, there's no way.
I don't even know what the equivalent is. Messed around with the NFL draft, but it's like isolating just round 6 and 7 for primetime television, like in the NFL draft. More people would still watch that.
Here's one. This is a tweet from Trista Crick. Ready for this? How is Tyrese Halliburton's Achilles injury related to what happened to Luka Doncic in Dallas? Any thoughts? Here's the reason, according to this Twitter account. Because Nico Harrison was pissed that Luka wouldn't come back from a calf strain faster and fired all the support staff that Luka trusted to help him recover. What do you think about that?
What was the beginning part of it?
So in other words, how is the Tyrese Halliburton Achilles injury related to Luka Doncic in Dallas? That was the question that was posed.
Oh.
And answered the question by saying, hey, remember they weren't happy with Luka not coming back quicker from the calf strain.
I mean, I can't say you're right or wrong, because it's very speculative.
It's not me. I'm just reading.
You're right. It's very speculative, right? Like we don't.
None of us knows.
None of us know that. However, I think.
But it's a good point, though.
To your point, I would be.
My point. And our point.
No, I know. Yeah. To the point.
Yeah.
I know we can get crazy, and all of us do, including me. I bet the NBA about how much time guys miss, but like that stuff terrifies me, right? If I heard Luka Doncic dealing with a calf, or anybody now dealing with a calf strain, it would terrify me, and I'd want to put that guy on the bench for as long as he possibly needs to be 100%.
And were it not Game 6 and 7 of the NBA
Correct.
Finals, Tyrese would have been on the bench,
yes.
too.
Well, yeah.
Wes Reynolds, kind enough to join us for a second segment here, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Again, you follow him, Wes Reynolds One. He's the co-host of Long Shots, the greatest golf podcast there ever was, with Kelly Bidlin, Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds. Founded by our friend Brady Cannon.
That's right.
Back in the day. Give Brady a shout out.
Matt Humans.
And Matty Humans, right? Exactly. Okay, Wes, let me just ask you football-wise. Obviously, now that the NBA is behind us, obviously we have a draft coming up, but we sort of, in our brains, segue into the, all right, it's baseball alone along with the golf and tennis on the side part of the season now, part of the calendar. Football, obviously, the next behemoth. We have a couple months, obviously, before, actually not even a couple months before we start talking Hall of Fame game and preseason. Give me the, I asked this of a guest this past week, I'll ask it of you. Give me the Wes Reynolds opinion that you feel like you are most on an island heading into the season, or at least here in June. And then give me, we'll go to that first. Afterwards, I want to get your consensus opinion that you've heard sort of anecdotally that you sort of can't get behind, that you disagree with the most. Let's start with you. What's the opinion you have that feels the most unique to you?
That I think Daniel Jones is going to have a very good season in Indianapolis. I don't know what their ceiling is, the Indianapolis Colts. Not a lot of people are talking about them in the AFC South, but the moment he was signed, I knew that he was going to be the starting quarterback in Indianapolis, because you just haven't gotten the sense that they have the confidence in Anthony Richardson. And now this shoulder thing pops up with Anthony Richardson where it's like, man, maybe this is just never going to happen. We drafted on potential a couple of years ago when we drafted him as the number four pick and just has not worked out. So Daniel Jones, I think, and that's something I need to do over the next couple of weeks where I'm getting into kind of like the, you know, yardage props and the individual player awards markets. I think Daniel Jones is going to have kind of a really good comeback season in Indianapolis. I think being in a new environment, being away from New York and all the spotlight and all that stuff, I think you watch out for him. I wouldn't be shocked if whatever his yards prop or touchdown pass prop, I think you're going to at least see a better Daniel Jones than you've certainly seen in New York. Now that might be a very low bar here.
I think it's a hot take, Wes, but you're not on an island because we just talked to JVT last week that basically thinks the same thing. And my mind's blown because I know I'm the Anthony Richardson guy over here, but my mind's blown at the Colts fans, first of all, not believing in Anthony Richardson long-term, seemingly, but then actually believing Daniel Jones is going to work out.
So much Bryce Young and Daniel Jones love on this show, I don't know what to do with myself.
But either.
Yeah. And then what's the thing you've heard anecdotally from just where you sit? You've heard it more than once, maybe multiple times, an opinion where you're like, I don't think so. I don't get this.
I think probably in looking at that, all the love that that the Rams are getting in the NFC West. And I think the Rams are very good, but I do prefer the 49ers in the NFC West just because they're playing that last place schedule. Now you've had to retool a little bit on the defense, though, but the core of the team outside of Deebo Samuel is back. McCaffrey's back. Ayuk is going to come back. You have Kittle, Trent Williams. Now, can Trent Williams stay healthy for 17 games? He's now in 37. But I think this 49er team, I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. And I see that they're the favorite, but they seem to be getting a little bit less buzz for some reason, because I think everybody likes the Rams now with the addition of Devontae Adams, replacing an aging Cooper Kupp. But this Rams team, I still think, it has Matthew Stafford peaked, and that's what kind of concerns me here toward kind of the end of his career. So I don't know if I'm ready to go all in on the Rams yet in the NFC West. I am willing to go on the 49ers. I just think they had such rotten injury luck, and they had they were terrible in close games largely because of the injuries.
Yeah, we've gotten three answers to this question. Love for Patriots, not understood. Love for the Broncos, we got last week, not understood. Wes comes with love on the Rams, not really understanding that. Real quick before we go, because we have a few minutes here, you wanted to say something about, we'll go back to some of the things we talked about. You wanted to say something about the NBA draft and something about the KD trade as well.
Well, you guys were talking about, you know, man, 2 days NBA draft, like, oh, I'm just not interested. Well, you know what would have got us interested in watching the NBA draft? If they wouldn't announce that blockbuster trade on draft night instead of on the day of game 7 of the NBA finals. That got me in a kind of a pissy mood, to be quite honest with you, going into the game on Sunday night, because it was like, we're at game 7. you've got these two cities and these two franchises that have done everything they had to do to get to the final stage, the biggest stage of the sport. And it's like, oh, Kevin Durant trade. So it's like the NBA really frustrates me because they're always talking about what's next instead of talking about what's now. And that just really frustrated me. And it's like, man, if you had a blockbuster trade like that for the draft, what would that have done for that broadcast? Would have made it a hell of a lot more exciting than, yeah, this guy's got a great wingspan. He's got a great motor when you're evaluating all these prospects. That would have made it more exciting when you have one of the biggest superstars in the league getting traded and what the fallout of that is going to be. So now you've already deadened that content, I think, for the next 3 days, and you're going to beat it to death. Then it's old news, of course, on draft night.
Yeah, I have a few things I want to stream together. One, let's blow this week here. Kelly and I are extremely excited about the first 13 or 14 picks of the NBA draft. Then not excited at all after that. I just want to make that clarification. The thing about the Durant thing, also I'll string a few things together. Durant supposedly learned about the trade while on stage at the Fanatics conference. Did you see this thing?
Yeah.
Which to me, I don't buy. I think you already knew it. That's why he was so calm.
With a cell phone from 400 yards away, like I'm supposed to read into anything on Kevin Durant's face.
Yeah. By the way, a couple things about Fanatics. One, of course, they go ahead with the Haliburton injury and do the marketing thing that all these sports books do now, which is like, all your Haliburton props, we're not gonna, you know, it's all refunds for everybody. We're gonna do that. By the way, Haliburton still ended up the game with the most three-pointers made. He made three three-pointers early. That held up. And also this Fanatics Superfest. Do you know anybody who went to this? I do.
No, not at all. I just saw an ESPN alert that Tom Brady won it afterward. And I'm like, I have no idea what this is.
Yeah. Apparently it's like the Sloan Sports Analytics Conference, but with like massive celebrities like Brady and James without the brain of the Sloan Sports Analytics Conference. It's just like every sports fan in America paying tons of money to go see this.
How did Brady win?
There were games associated with two. Then a few select attendees got to compete against the stars in these competitions. So I don't know exactly.
This was televised this weekend?
No, it wasn't televised. I didn't know about it until my buddies, of course, on the East Coast. Like, I'm going to Fanatics. I'm like, what? Anyway.
Sorry, Wes. Wes. Last 45
seconds. You got me on KD and the trade and all that, and it sort of went off. Anyway. Thank you, Wes. Again, congratulations on golf. So sorry about the Pacers.
Yeah, wait till 2 years now. We can't say wait till next year with the Pacers.
Wait till 2 years from now. You never know. Thank you, Wes. Appreciate it. We'll come back NBA draft with Rafael Barlow next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There is a new sports betting market in town, and it's called XCUTTA, spelled X-C-U-T-T-A. XCUTTA is a sports Calcutta combining the adrenaline of live auctions and strategy of sports prognostication. Create your own XCUTTA auctions for you and your crew for any sport or sporting event, football, baseball, basketball, tennis, golf, Super Bowl, World Series, March Madness, Wimbledon, even your own local golf tournament. Create your own private or public auctions. Create secondary markets for aftermarket buying and selling. Over 1,000 teams, player, and drivers in the database with the ability for you to add more. Free practice auctions now running daily at 3, 6, and 9 p.m. at xcutta.com. And for a 3-month free bidding subscription, email support at xcutta.com and mention VSIN. xcutta.com, the future of future wagering. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciated from all y'all. 3Jack H3131. Kelly, how did Brady win? Come on, Kelly. Brady wins at everything, he says. Have a great week, guys.
That's a fair response.
And Dan Goodwin says Fanatics Fest was a giant sports card and memorabilia show. Yes, but it was so much because there was panels, and then there were games associated with it. So it was more than that, and it was just like, I don't know how much they were paying these celebrity athletes to be there. But man, oh man, people were flocking to that. Torch D, the one who put the satin in your panties. He said, now that it's summertime and there are no sports on, how about we power rank the VSiN commercials? Power rank the annoying ones or just the commercials in general?
I finally heard the gas one driving around this weekend.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Girl.
I started laughing so hard just because of you guys tweeting in all the time, though. Like, it was...
Girl, we're going to be late for the concert because you're going to get cheap gas. I think the better one is still the guy who hates lawyers. I'm not a lawyer. I also don't want to sound like a lawyer. Yeah, sorry if I do.
We live in the greatest town in America for personal injury commercials. They are great.
James Sott, I have a calf strain that just healed, but I was worried about it with all these Achilles injuries, and I was just playing softball. It did not get any better after last night, shaking my head. And Bobby Geddes, based on my dream. Now I'm picturing Kelly running out of a football stadium with two people on his back after saving them from a sinkhole while wearing a superhero costume that says Slash across it would make a great movie. Again, dreams are amazing. Because somehow I knew the Skins went 3 and out on their first possession, and this happened on the second possession, the second drive of the game when the Cowboys had the ball first, in a sinkhole in the middle
of the game. Said you went for a lot of years without dreaming?
Without remembering dreams.
Okay.
Whether I had them or not.
That makes me feel better, because I like never remember dreams.
That's when a lot of years didn't cry, now I cried everything, you know, kind of thing. Ladies and gentlemen, we are thrilled to talk NBA draft, the first portion of it where bets are involved. This gentleman, not necessarily a bettor by trade, but someone who focuses on the NBA draft year round, as he just told us off air, this is his game 7. Thrilled to have Rafael Barlow on the show, NBA draft analyst at NBABigBoard.com and co-host of Locked On, the NBA Big Board podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at Barlow500. That's Barlow with an E at the end. How you doing, Rafael? Nice to meet you.
I'm doing good. I'm glad to be on. And this is, like I said, this is my game 7. This is my World Series. This week is a big week for me.
What was it? What is it about the NBA draft, if you had to like reflect on it, that made you devote your entire life to it?
It goes back to Kenny Anderson. So I was a big, big Kenny Anderson fan when he was at Georgia Tech. He was left-handed. I'm left-handed. And I felt like this is who I wanted to be like. And he didn't live up to the expectations that my, 12-year-old self saw. And so I just wanted to figure out, like, what is it that makes some guys turn into, like, Hall of Famers, and why some guys that are, like, great in college don't have the same success, and why, you know, they're guys that we've never heard of that come out of nowhere, like Nikola Jokic. So ever since then, I just have been really interested in the draft and just trying to figure out what it is that makes the great great, and why some don't succeed. So ever since then, I just started really covering the draft and doing a lot of film watching and researching, and here I am.
Okay, so we're glad that you're here. So let's just go through this 1 through 5 and where you think this is going to fall right now. Obviously, Dallas with Cooper Flagg at the very top. But the big thing we've heard is that Ace Bailey from Rutgers is not working out for anybody. And this has caused a little bit of confusion at the top of the draft. So how does this go? You know, trades, barring trades, which obviously would throw everything into, sort of confusion. But after the Mavericks, Spurs, Sixers, Hornets, Jazz. How do you think this shakes out, Rafael?
So I think that obviously Cooper Flagg is going number one. I think the San Antonio Spurs are going to take Dylan Harper, best player available. The third best player in this draft, in my opinion, is Ace Bailey. But Philadelphia would have to basically take the risk at taking him at 3, knowing that he hasn't worked out for them. But VJ Edgecombe has. So I would say VJ Edgecombe goes 4. I'm sorry, Edgecombe goes 3. At 4, if they keep the pick, I think the Hornets go at Con Kneppel, but I do think that they can probably trade back a couple spots, pick up an asset, and get him. At number 5, I think it's between Trey Johnson and Jeremiah Fears at Utah. So I think they would probably go with Trey Johnson. And then at 6, I think the Washington Wizards go with Ace Bailey. And I think everything surrounding Ace, it's been a strategic play to put him in a position to where he goes to a team in a market that he wants to be in, and a team that gives him, you know, time to develop and play through mistakes. And I think Washington and Brooklyn and New Orleans teams are picking 6, 7, and 8. I think those are the preferred choices.
All right, so let me just juxtapose this. I know you're not necessarily locked into the betting odds, Rafael, but let me just say, so Edgecombe to go 3 is minus 200. So he is the favorite to go 3. After that, it does get interesting based on what you just said. Kelly and I both have Con Kneppel going top 5 at even money. But Kneppel to go to go exactly 4th is plus 170. It is the short shot, but plus 170 is Kneppel to go 4. And then based on what Rafael just said, to go 5, either Trey Johnson or Jeremiah Fears. Trey Johnson's plus 180. Jeremiah Fears is 4-1 to go specifically number five. And then if Ace Bailey is to go to the Wizards at six, though he is the short shot, it's still plus 230. So there is a lot of plus numbers in there. I kind of like our Knepel play. What was your other one that you had as well?
I have Queen over 10.5 for his draft position. Rafa, I wanted to ask you, of just going back to the Ace Bailey thing really quick. I mean, so is this all... Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of rumors swirling. You are a believer in the camp of this was kind of predetermined, where he wants to go to a specific location, not being Philadelphia, but a team that's bad enough where he kind of gets to be maybe the guy early and in a big enough market?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you look at Reed Shepard last year was a third pick, and he barely played. Rob Dillingham was the eighth pick, and he barely played because both of those guys were on teams that were looking to compete. The Rockets were second in the West. The Timberwolves went to the conference finals. Not a lot of room for 18-year-olds to play through mistakes. And so to me, based off what I'm hearing, and just even my own thought process, Bailey's 18, one of the younger players in the draft. If he goes to Philly, which you have to imagine they're in win now mode. And then even with the injury to Tyrese Halliburton yesterday, the East is missing Tatum, Damian Lillard, and Halliburton. So a team like Philadelphia is probably going to really think that they have a shot at competing for a title next year. So are you really going to let an 18-year-old play through mistakes? So if you go to Washington, you know that you're going to probably play 30 minutes per game. You take a couple of bad shots, you miss an assignment on defense, you're still going to be able to play. So I think this is all just a strategic play to put him in the best situation to where he can get the second contract. And realistically, that's what it's about. Everyone may think it's about winning early, but you want to get that second contract, which could be worth $200, $300 million. So I think this is what the play is all about.
You think Derek Queen of Maryland falls out of the top 10?
No, I don't think so. I mean, there was a trade yesterday that kind of changed things with the Suns now picking at number 10. So that could have an impact. We know that Phoenix doesn't need any shooting guards. I mean, they have Bradley Beal and Devin Booker and Jalen Green. But they do need a big, but I don't think Queen falls out the top 10, even though he is somewhat polarizing. I've heard people tell me that they would take him in a top five, and some just question his fit.
Draft position and betting aside, besides the guys at the very top, in your opinion, Rafael, who is the player in this draft that is not necessarily going to go top 10, maybe not even a lottery pick, who would be, in essence, the steal of this draft?
I would go with Stanford's Maxime Renaud. I'm a huge fan of Renaud. I've actually been accused of being an industry plant because I'm so vocal about how much I like him. But he averaged 20 points and 11 rebounds, and he led the ACC in rebounds. He was second in scoring. He made the second most threes in NCAA history by a 7-footer, and he's a late bloomer. He was a swimmer. He entered college on a partial scholarship, and 4 years later, he had a historic season. So I think there's plenty of room for development for him, and he's been hiding in plain sight. And until recently, you're starting to see his name mentioned as a first-round pick, but he's been good all year long. It's just people are just now starting to pay attention.
Rafael, industry plant or not, we appreciate it. Thank you so much for that.
Yep, no problem.
Appreciate it. Rafael Barlow, everybody. Again, follow him on Twitter at Barlow500. That's Barlow with an E. NBA draft analyst for NBABigBoard.com. Co-host of Locked On NBA Big Board. That's the name of the podcast. A lot of plus money there in the top five for the taking based on his analysis there. Interesting. Our Knepel plays minus 130 now, top five. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Hello.
And if you miss any part of our show or any show here on the network, every show has its own podcast. So you can obviously listen to us on delay. Obviously, there's the VSiN Watch app that you can watch episodes not only of today, but last week, last month. Mm-hmm. Goes all the way back. So all of that available to you in case you don't listen in real time. And what would you say, just on a guess, the percentage of our listeners that listen in real time versus after the fact?
It's a great question. I'm going to go 50-50.
It was 60-40. But who knows?
60-40 pods?
60-40 live.
60/40
We get a lot of live.
Yeah, that's what's tough. I know there's a lot of, I know there's a ton of people that listen to us in podcast form or you know on the website, and I think that's who we hear from a lot too.
So maybe it's more delay.
But we can't, you know, like how many tweets do we read during a show, right? I assume most of that means that most of you are not driving around listening to us, you know, on SiriusXM.
That's true.
Tweeting into the show.
Who knows? We just appreciate it any which way. By the way, Jason Stark sent in a picture of the sinkhole at Heinz Field. Was this from the movie? Is this from the movie, the Batman movie you're referring to?
Yeah. No?
No.
I don't, or this was in prep of the movie?
Who knows? Anyway, it's a crazy dream.
That's a wild picture. I have no idea. But Heinz Field is what they used in the movie.
Yes.
Yes. So that would make a lot of sense.
Yes. I do. Otherwise, I don't remember the Steelers game where this actually happened. Is what I'm saying. Let's recap all the bets from today. And it's not a whole bunch because we. Although I would like to circle back to Raphael's in moments, but I had what do I still have? I have the Tigers 16-1 most wins in June. That is a long shot. Three wins back with only six to play for the Tigers. Con Knepel. Top five, even money. It's now -130 for Knepel go top five. But I just want to segue again or repeat what Raphael was just saying, Raphael Barlow. He has Edgecombe going third. Edgecombe going third. So he's got, let's repeat, he's got Cooper Flagg going first. He's got, what do you say, Dylan Harper second, did he say?
Yeah, Dylan Harper second, which sounds like it's pretty locked in at this point.
Okay. Then he's got Edgecombe going third. Edgecombe's odds are -200. He's got Knepel going fourth. Knepel's +170 to go fourth, if you want to do it exact. He has either Trey Johnson or Jeremiah Fears going fifth. Trey Johnson's +180. Fears is 4-1. He's got Ace Bailey from Rutgers going sixth to the Wizards at +230. Now, here's the thing. Ace Bailey, if we could just interrupt our recap of bets here. Ace Bailey is one of these players, again, who has refused to work out anywhere. And yet, we're talking NBA here, where talent reigns supreme. Even with all that, the Sixers might not be able to pass on him at three.
Yeah, I think three through like eight are very up in the air. We were talking a bit off air. We saw these numbers when we were sitting here last week and, okay, draft started to get interesting, right? When we were hearing these Ace Bailey reports, he's not working out for anybody. Okay, that's got to throw a wrench into things here. And you were hearing reports from different teams. And including Raphael, who does a great newsletter. If you're ever interested in NBA draft stuff, definitely check out his website. Check out his free newsletter, though. A lot of great information. And I don't know, I was reading his even last week, and he was hearing from teams that were saying, some teams that were saying, this throws out of whack everything we thought three through eight with Ace Bailey not doing these workouts. And he was hearing from other teams that it was like, oh, this doesn't really change anything. Ace Bailey's that good of a player. It's not going to really change much. So I'm really interested to see what happens there. I think Edgecombe's pretty locked in at three. I think we need Knipple to go four for us to cash. Because I think five, at this point, I think the Jazz are going Trey Johnson and maybe even Jeremiah Fears. I think Fears is the guy on the rise right now that... If you want to take a stab on an under, he might be something that I'm looking to add here one way or the other. I haven't added many other draft bets though, Gil, because I think there's some value. I don't know how to play this yet, but I think there's some value in playing some of the dogs, and some of the longer dogs on these exact pick numbers because there can still be trades. We haven't really heard a lot of these guys locked in to specific teams because there is so much. There's a lot of thoughts out there that different teams have different big boards as far as just what the pure talent level is with these guys. So I don't know. Three through eight, I think, can be pretty wild.
And just, you know, for those who show up for college basketball just for the tournament, just for the big dance for March Madness, this is also a draft that will have Duke's Malowatches in this draft.
Yep.
Sounds
like he's going to be top 10.
Yeah, exactly. We mentioned Derek Queen from Maryland. He'll be in this. Jace Richardson from Michigan State. Jason Richardson's son, Danny Wolf from Michigan. He's in this draft. Supposed to be a first rounder. Little later on, Walter Clayton Jr. from Florida, right? He's supposed to be around the 20th pick or so in this draft. So there's a bunch of guys. You got an Israeli player, Ben Saraf, who's supposed to go. A point guard is supposed to go in the first round as well. Jani Broome, from Auburn, obviously. One of the two players, along with Cooper Flagg, who was locked into player of the year possibilities this year. He's supposed to be a first round pick. So a lot of guys that, by the way, LeBaron Filon from Alabama, also in this. Ryan Kalkbrenner from Creighton. So a lot of recognizable names. So the first round should be interesting.
So I think a good example with Fears, like his draft position is at 6.5. With everything we just talked through with Raphael, where he thinks everything's going 1 through 6, I would rather take a longer shot at Fears to go number 5 overall at 4-1, because I think that's the only spot he could fit 1 through 6 than actually playing under on his draft position. Like, that's kind of an example of some things I might be betting here. Just to roll through the rest of our bets. We'll touch on this more tomorrow, but I did make a bet over the weekend. Bills' most regular season wins plus 450 right behind us, Gil. We've been talking about them. I mean, I do think they are the best team heading into the NFL this season. I think in the AFC, they are the clear cut, and I'm willing. They're the short shot. They're the favorite. Me and you love talking fewest wins more than we do most wins. I don't know if I've ever bet this one before, but I'm going to go into the season with the Bills' most regular season wins ticket. I might join you. Schedule soft. That division, I think, is – I am not nearly as high on the Patriots as some people are. I think that division is going to be a walkthrough for them. So plus 450, I did add, and then my two draft bets so far, Colin Knipple top 5 and Derek Queen over 10.5.
Yeah, we talked about the Bills mainly. Should they be as short of a shot as they were to win the AFC East? And I immediately said no, they should be a heavier favorite to be. And so we never really talked about most regular season wins, but there you go, plus 450. Maybe we'll delve into this a little more tomorrow. And then the Knipple thing, forgive me if you already said this, but we have him top 5 pick even money. But if you think it's 4 or bust, shouldn't you be betting 4 exactly?
I think there's some value in us adding to that spot.
What did I say it was? 4?
I think the only one that gets interesting is...
Neville plus 170.
Yeah, plus 170. Yeah. I think the only one, the interesting one, might want to sprinkle some on 3 too. I haven't really heard him linked to the 76ers that closely, but if we think Ace Bailey's dropped out of this, man... I'll tell you, all I've heard the past couple weeks is there are a lot of teams that have loving the shooting from Knipple and what he could turn into in the NBA from that standpoint. And to add to a team like the Sixers that has a lot going for him already, I think he could actually be a good fit there.
Did we, when he was playing this year, did we think he was going to be a top 3 or 4 pick? I don't think we did, but he's one of these players that between the season and the draft, scouts and front office folks got together and were like, wait a minute.
I heard a great breakdown on the evolution of his kind of shooting and movement, kind of like a Steph Curry thing when he first came in the league, and how it just keeps getting better and better. And there's a lot of wishful thinking that he turns into a very good shooter in the NBA.
Those are the bets for the day, brought to you by GBank, the official bank of VSIN, which is GBank that is offering the GBank First Bet VSIN Trifecta. The $500 trifecta from GBank First Bet and Visa. And all you need to do is open a GBank Visa signature credit card in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. Visa completes the trifecta with a free Visa Pro subscription through October 31st, a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank First Bet and Visa. Head to visa.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. Just want to say it one more time again. Congratulations to anybody who had OKC, either against the spread yesterday, although don't chirp about that too much, but to win the title, you know, win the series, whatever it was, congratulations to you. Congratulations to OKC and their fans. But again, holding two thoughts in our heads at the same time. We will always have a what if. What a sad thing for Pacers fans and Pacers backers. I don't know how you were the last 3.5 quarters of that game yesterday, but I kind of watched it in a fog. Even though it was competitive to you know, into the third quarter, it just wasn't the same.
Yeah, it's also just going back to Game 6. Let down Game 6 and Game 7 to a degree, right?
Yep.
You know, complete blowout, and then that injury happened early and stuff.
Tough. Just so tough. Stormy Bonatoni, Jonathan Von Tobel, next with Money Moves. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.